Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell,
brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hanging out at the bins, as we like to say. Atlanta United tonight taking on NYCFC. It is Dukes and Bell. Chris in for Mike today. And interesting conversation in regards to Alabama. What are the expectations for Alabama? Even with Nick Saban gone, there's no one in their right mind that would say Jalen Milroe's coming back. He's a Heisman candidate. You've got all this talent. You've had a great recruiting class. Nobody in their right mind would say that Alabama's goals have not changed. Nor do I. But I do think that with a new staff and a new head coach, new scheme, new feeling, that there needs to be some oomph that comes out of SEC Media Days. And today, Kalen DeBoer, who is the head coach, had a chance to address the media there in Dallas. We're going to let you hear what he had to say. Also, we'll let you hear from Jalen Milroe. But today, it's kind of turtle about Alabama, right? I mean, yesterday was about Georgia and with Kirby and everything that's going on. Today, it's been about Alabama. We'll also hear from Billy Napier from Florida. And also, Sark spoke about 25, 30 minutes ago. So we'll let you hear what he had to say as well, because there's a lot of expectations as far as Texas is concerned. Hell, Nick Saban is even saying Georgia and Texas are going to play for the SEC championship game right here in this building come first week in December. We will see. I love college football because every week you have to prove it. And so Kalen DeBoer comes to Alabama. He's had a successful career. They go to the college football playoff last year, the championship game at Washington in his second year. But this is not Washington. And the thing today that I thought he needed to differentiate himself from was, this is different, and I'm ready for the challenge, and we're going to be better than what we've been, and I have high expectations and goals. Like, build this thing up. If you are just status quo at Alabama, he's not going to last. Winning 10 or 11 games. So, for me, I just didn't hear enough today, and I'm just saying, exuding the confidence that I thought he might coming in under the circumstances, Turtle, of filling the shoes of a guy like Nick Saban.
What's the famous line from Kevin Hart, Carl?
What's that?
Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest.
Because, and I say that only half-jokingly, because as you just said, this is a very important time in Alabama football history right now. Things could get sideways. And you got to make sure that that doesn't happen. And a big part of the way that you do that is by instilling the message to the national media off the jump, I got this. We're good. We're good. I got this. What, you think just because I'm coming from Washington, I can't handle this? No, I don't need him making, as you'll hear, corny jokes about the weather in the South. That's not what I needed to hear today. I needed to hear from pillar to post, I have this program under control.
Yeah. Does he? Maybe he does. Are they going to be really good? Will they be playing in this building come, you know, first weekend of December for the SEC championship? Maybe they will. But this was his opportunity. And again, for everybody that hears our voices in Alabama, and I know you do, big signal. You guys in Tuscaloosa, or whether you're in Mobile or Montgomery, you're paying a lot more attention to this than people around the country. SEC Media Days is the first time that a lot of these coaches get a chance to kind of express their views about where their program is and what's going on. So that is why today was important. I just don't feel like, if you're an Alabama fan, you should be sitting back and being like, well, you know, we'll be fine. He's got to prove this. We'll let you hear all of that coming up. Also, along the way, we're going to talk about our Falcons, guys. We are literally a week away from the start of training camp, and I cannot wait. We'll talk more about our kicker and what's going on and your confidence level when it gets to our Falcons at 5 o'clock. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
If you think the dogs are going to be in the national championship, well, that means you think they're going to probably be in the SEC championship. But who are they playing? And how will that look between now and then. For Kalen DeBoer, the new head coach at Alabama, he talked about Nick Saban a lot today, and I joked to start the show by saying, we know you know Nick Saban. We get it. Here's DeBoer talking about the impact left from Nick Saban.
Yeah, you know, I get it. I totally get it. Understand, there's only one Coach Saban. There will only ever be one Coach Saban. And, this program is special, and I guess I just take it as a great honor to be the one that gets to do everything we can to carry on the great tradition. So much blood, sweat, and tears, whether it's the players and the alumni that have been in this program or coaches, and obviously referring to Coach Saban, so much is put into this place. We all have alma maters, right? We all have places that we have great pride in, and you always want that to be home, and we always want to make those people proud of their alma mater and the work that's been put in to set this program up for success. But for me personally, it was just more about just understanding that, coaching football is coaching football to some aspect, and you got to try to simplify it down as difficult and complicated as you can make it.
Is it coaching is coaching? Is it?
First of all, no is the answer to your question. But first of all, how did that sound to you?
Blah.
Yeah.
Blah.
Because you know what's funny? Halfway through that soundbite, when it felt like I thought he started to ramble a little bit, I was playing back the Kirby cuts in my head yesterday that we heard. It sounds more demonstrative. It sounds more
succinct.
Succinct, vocal, explicit in the sense of I am talking to a room full of people, but I also understand I'm talking to the country right now. All eyes were on him this morning, and it might just be his personality, Carl, because, I mean, are we listening to weekly sound bites from Kalen DeBoer when he was at Washington? Only if he said something crazy, maybe before the national championship game. So I don't have a full breadth of knowledge of his style. But to me, it just, when I heard Kirby Smart yesterday and then I hear this, there's a distinct difference, man. It just is.
Okay. And I don't disagree. I mean, there is commanding the room. We've said this. And there is also just understanding what the task in front of you is. Kalen DeBoer's task right now is to make Alabama fans believe.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get him on the field and you perform at the level in which Alabama is expected to perform, then fans start to buy in. But his job right now is to make sure that everybody knows, to your point, I've got this. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear him talk about his quarterback. This is the new head coach at Alabama talking about Jalen Milroe and the fact that he's learning how to run the entire show.
I mean, I think, first of all, the talent of your quarterback is most important, right? You can go to drastic levels and talk about a guy who can't pass. Well, in the end, your passing game's not going to be what you want it to be. But, Jalen's super talented, when it comes to down the field throws, which are not easy. He was one of the best in the country. He and Michael both were two of the top, three or four in the country when it came to accuracy, efficiency, yards per attempt in some of those areas, depending on how you look at it. I think just continue to grow his game, build confidence. It's new language, verbiage that he's got to learn, directing the whole show.
Is he going to be better in this system under DeBoer than he was last year?
I think he has a chance to. I certainly think that it's possible. But, Carl, I just heard that soundbite. I didn't feel that soundbite. Because you know what I didn't just hear? Jalen Milroe is the best quarterback in the country.
Yes.
He is going to be a Heisman finalist this year.
Okay.
I am going to make sure of that personally as we lead this program to the college football playoff. It's okay to say that kind of stuff, especially now. Your resume is blank. So for all anybody knows at Alabama, you're going to carry on the legacy like you're talking about. I don't know if they're going to stink or if they're going to lose four games or if they're going to be perfect next year. We won't know until they play the games on the field. But right now, you had an opportunity to control your narrative, like I talked about yesterday with Kirby Smart. And I just feel like these sound bites are coming off as less than, as you use the word oomph. Need more oomph. I need you to come out and say, Jalen Milroe has the dynamic ability as an athlete that we've only seen since Cam Newton.
Okay.
That's what I want to hear from him.
Because that gets you excited.
Because that gets me excited. Like, instead of just like, well, you know, it's really hard to play quarterback, especially in the SEC, but he has a big arm, so I think he can do it. That's essentially how that sounded to me.
All right. I want to know what you guys think. 404-726-0929. Let us know. And again, this is more about what this is going to look like. Listen, the greatest college football coach in the history of the game has stepped away. And it's your job now. This is not easy. But I also think, did you get what you needed today? And you just tell us. You tell us. Because we know we got a lot of Alabama fans. And Mike Johnson, you better not call in. 404-726-0929. We'll take some of your phone calls. We're going to let you hear more of Milroe. And what did Billy Napier say about his job security today? We'll play it for you next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
You know what I'm really excited about today is that you, sir, actually agree with me on this Kalen DeBoer situation. I thought for sure that you would be going, no, but you actually agree with
me on this. Okay, so I'm glad you said that, because for all you ladies and gentlemen that think I'm just playing radio when I come on here Carl Dukes.
What's that?
It's not true. Okay. I share my opinion, and it just so happens that you have some very poor opinions on some things that I disagree with.
You mean the listeners, not me.
Well, the listeners certainly disagree with
Not me. I'm just glad you agree with me on this. Apparently, we got some guys on the line that want to talk about it. If you're just joining us, Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Alabama, took the podium today and talked about his team, and we'll let you hear more of Jalen Milroe as well.
A little soft.
And I want you to hear Billy Napier, because I think he's on the hot seat. And the way he answered this question today about being on schedule, if someone asked you, and you had a project due, and they said, hey, how far along are you on the project? You don't say, well, I'm sort of on schedule. You say, well ahead of schedule, and the project will be, you know, completed on time. Like, again, give me, if I'm a Florida fan, which I know it's hard right now, but give me something to hang my hat on. And I just felt like Napier kind of was hemming and hawing today. All right, Devin is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Devin, what do you think about this Alabama head coach, and how do you feel?
Listen, first off, let me preface this by saying, go Dawgs. I could give a damn about Bama, right? But I want to say this. I listen to Andy Randy all the time. And Andy told us that when you get Kalen DeBoer, you get exactly what his last name was, and that was DeBoer and his coach at the damn conference today. Nobody want to hear you coddle Nick Saban. And if you're a Bama fan, you got to feel a certain type of way. Like,
got to.
This supposed to be the guy that's leading us. Compare him to how Kirby came in, confident, exuding all that confidence. What'd you get with? I damn near fell asleep listening to that dude today.
Exactly. That's the thing, Devin. And I said this when we started the show, and people were like, "Ah, here you go, Dukes. You hate Alabama." I don't. I'm just telling you what the deal is. I'm telling you that I heard Kalen DeBoer today, and I said, we know you know Nick Saban. I hear you. Justin, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How do you feel about this, Justin?
All right, so listen, this is how he should have done it. He should have came out, first off, honest. Like, anybody. Like, you're not taking over for Phil Fulmer in his, like, latter years. When he's thinking. Like, you're taking over for Nick Saban, who was competing for championships the day he walked away. So, I mean, you got to be like, I mean, I'd almost be like, yeah, I took this job, and when I took this job, I was ready to poop my pants. Like, that was it. And then you kind of go into this whole spiel about, like, this is a lot. Like, I'm taking this on. And then you go into, you got to go, like, I haven't even called my wife, honey, in 2 months. We've gone on a first-name basis. And I haven't seen my kids in 3 weeks because I've been trying to recruit all these kids. Like, and then
you
lay it on thick, like you're like, I'm hammering this.
Yes.
I'm here to be the best. I'm here to win championships tomorrow, the next day, and the next day after that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Justin, that is exactly what I've been saying this entire show.
Thank you.
He should have came out and just been like, Jalen Milroe is so good this year, he's going to break the single season record for touchdowns passing and rushing. He's going to take Cam Newton's stats to the woodshed this year. I know I'm exaggerating a little bit there, but that should have been the messaging. It should have been, I don't care that we have to play all these SEC teams as they're making their way into the conference. We are the standard of the SEC of the last 15 years.
And that will continue.
Under my watch.
Correct. Thank you, Justin. I just got a text from a friend. I've gotten in and out of the car three times, and you're still hating on Alabama. Alabama! No, I'm not. These are facts. This is what's going on right now. And here's why I'm taking phone calls. Because obviously I'm not the only one hearing this.
And am I mistaken, Carl? Should we be talking about what Jeff Lebby had to say today? should that be what's on the agenda on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game?
Wait a minute. Who's Jeff Lebby?
Yeah, that's your Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No one cares.
Yeah. And his quarterback, Blake Shapen, really broke some news today. He had a lot to say.
You mean Blake Shapen, the quarterback at where?
Yeah, Mississippi State.
This is our point. You care about Alabama because Georgia fans, you know you might have to see these guys.
Three times.
You care because, let's be honest, dog fans, you want to see Kalen DeBoer fail. Don't tell me you don't. Don't tell me you don't want to rub it in their face now that Saban is gone. You guys are acting like you're above it, like you're too big for it. Get out of here with that. You guys want to see Alabama fall on their face so you can say, ha, ha, ha. And that's why we're discussing this, because I don't know if that's going to happen, but I will tell you this. Wasn't impressed. That's just where I'm at. Jay, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jay, what are you thinking?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So I agree with you guys in terms of how we perceive what he's saying as Georgia fans, right?
Yes.
But what I disagree with you guys is I work with Alabama fans. Alabama fans are some of my friends, and they see it totally opposite. By the way of what this guy has been able to do with recruiting since the transfer portal opened and closed. So they are very, very high on this dude. Him not winning them over in the press conference, that doesn't mean anything to them. They are very, very high on this dude. But as a Georgia fan, I agree. If I was in their seat, what I heard is not what I wanted to hear.
No.
As a newcomer that's coming in replacing Saban.
Not at all. And, Jay, here's the other part of this, and you make me laugh because it's like, I know those people. They're some of my closest friends, you know? Alabama fans, as you said, you work with some of them.
It's like saying I can make fun of heavyset people because I could lose a few pounds myself.
Correct, yes. And so do I. And I will say this. They're delusional. I told you, my mom, I grew up around this. I know
these people.
I know these people, okay? I know what they look like. I know how they sound. But here's the deal. They're delusional as well. And so to your point about them being feeling some kind of way versus what we're hearing and what we think, you're probably right. But they're also very delusional. Hell, you can ask an Alabama fan in a down year where they're not going to be any good, and they've been good for a very long time. They will tell you, we better win the national championship, because that is how delusional they are. You will never hear an Alabama fan. Hell, there's one that's going to be at Hooters with us next week, Jerome, who will tell you, regardless of what happens, that they're going to be in the mix.
Oh, and you'll hear him.
It's delusional. Either way, I do agree with you, though, Jay. Listen, you cannot take away what he's done with this particular recruiting class and this cycle and how they've been able to maintain what it looks like, maintain a top recruiting class.
So, like, in 2014, when they had Blake Sims at quarterback, they were damn sure they were going to win the whole thing.
They thought they were going to win the whole thing. Yeah. If you asked an Alabama fan, I'm telling you, I know these people. You asked an Alabama fan, they would have been like, you know we're going to win 12, 14 games. What? What are you talking about? Yeah, okay, whatever.
Listen, Brody Croyle in the early 2000s was okay.
Brody Croyle. Wow.
I can go to – you want to do what we did yesterday, but with college football players? I can do it. I'm ready for you.
Let me hear Jalen Milroe while we're talking about this. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Chris in for Mike today. Here is Milroe talking about actually a couple of things. Where he's at and how they're motivated to get back to being in the national championship game. But he says first and foremost he's not a finished product.
I think for me, I'm not a finished product. I think for me, today I stopped getting better. Today I feel as though I need to retire. So with that, I can always seek information and try to be a sponge at the position, whether it's situation awareness, whether it's protection, whether it's coverages. There's a multitude of things that as a quarterback to play at a high level, you have to master that aspect. And number one that people think about is more the physical aspect, but not the mental aspect. So I think mentally, being stronger in the game and be ready for all situations that occur so you can be the strongest player you can be on the football field.
Okay, as good as he is, if he is the best quarterback in the SEC this year, they're back in the national championship hunt. But I don't think he is. If you're telling me, which we had this conversation yesterday, you think Carson Beck's better, you think Quinn Ewers is better, you think Jason Dart is better at Ole Miss, we continue to go down the list, Nussmeier, right, at LSU. All these guys, if they're better than Jalen Milroe, then this is not going to look like we think it is. But if he is the best quarterback in the SEC, then Alabama's right back to where they were last year.
Well, here's the thing, Carl, and I thought that was a very – you know what? Coach should take a page out of QB's playbook right there when it comes to talking to the media, because I like what I heard right there. Because you know what he said? I acknowledged my weaknesses from last year.
Okay.
And my main goal was to make myself better. That's dangerous now. If you're telling me he spent the offseason learning how to play the position properly and being an all-around complete quarterback when it comes to learning the playbook, executing on the field, vision, strength, power, speed, we know he has a cannon. If you're telling me he learned all the mental stuff to go along with it, he might be the best quarterback.
More to get to in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk about our Falcons in less than 30 minutes away. We are a week away from the start of training camp. But when we come back, and guy talk, we got to fill in the blanks. Guy asked us today, says, I want to know what's going on with Turtles Cat. And what's about what's the deal with your new dog, Dukes? Well, we'll tell you. Coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up a little bit later on. Pre-game tonight at 6:30. Abe and Garrett tonight.
They'll be in the building.
They will have the pregame for Atlanta United taking on NYCFC. By the way, do we snap out of this thing tonight?
Ooh, I want to spread some cheer and joy, Carl, but this is going to be a tough one. NYCFC is fifth in the table. Atlanta United, I believe, is 11th.
That's right.
And I believe Atlanta United is down upwards of 5 starting players.
Yeah. Well, they're in the process of trying to replace some of the guys, right? And it's just this is a tough spot, as we like to say, in sports. This is one of those scheduling things and where your team currently is. And it puts you in a tough, precarious situation.
I think they have a 4-match losing streak right now.
Yeah.
Going back, including their loss in the national tournament.
All right, I got to say this real quick before we get to some guy talk. Coming up, Falcon Report is on the way. Also, we'll talk to Jason Longshore. He will join us
in an hour.
Yeah, about what, 5:40. So he will be here, and we'll get his thoughts on all the stuff that is going on here with Atlanta United as of late. Guy, hit me up on social media. By the way, Chris, give him your social handle.
C. Thomas Radio.
All right, I'm going to put them up. See, Dukes, the show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. Mo Cheese, obviously he enjoyed.
Mo Cheese.
Yeah, he enjoyed our conversation yesterday. Hits me up and he says, Dukes, this is Georgia, man. He's like, why are we talking about Alabama? Because you care. And I want to be clear about this. If you're not scoreboard watching during the season, if you're not keeping up with what's going on and whether they're losing games or winning certain games that they should be, you're fooling yourself. We all do it. And for dog fans, let's be honest. I said this yesterday. Kirby was 1-5 against Nick Saban.
There should be a little chip on the shoulder.
Absolutely.
Now. Come on now.
Absolutely. So going to Tuscaloosa in week 4 is a big deal, and we're going to get a chance to see what this is all about for dog fans. But let's not fool ourselves like, oh, I don't care what Kalen DeBoer says or what Jalen Milroe said. Hell, Jalen Milroe said you guys were scared last year. We forget about that?
And let's be honest, Carl. Every Saturday at about 4:30, when the Georgia game is over, if they're not the SEC game of the week, and you check all the box scores, you see what everybody did.
Yeah.
Who's the next team you're looking up?
Alabama.
Come on.
Alabama.
Come on.
It's the next team. All right, with that said, let's get to some guy talk, man. And first and foremost, what's the name of your cat, and how is your cat? Because a guy, and I want to give him some love here, but I think it was...
his name is Chris.
Yes, Chris, one of our loyal listeners, said, fellas, what's up with the pets? And so I know that you just showed me a picture, but the name and then where you at? Because the last time I think we really spoke about your cat was this bonding situation that you had going on where... He was coming around, but he wasn't coming around, and now that's changed, right?
Yeah, so Rafa the cat is he's now my best bud, Carl. We have had an absolute breakthrough turnaround over the last couple of months. He has gone from being a cat that literally lived underneath my bed for 3.5 months. I got him in December, and it was Easter morning that he decided to come around. And there were stages, right? So at first, he wouldn't come out from under the bed when I was home. Then he would come out from underneath the bed only to eat while I was on my bed.
Okay.
If I moved off my bed onto the floor in the apartment, he would get scared and run back underneath the bed. So he would come out, but I had to be on the bed. Then he would come out and play around in the apartment with some toys that I got him in a bed, only if I was on the bed.
Gotcha.
Then he perched himself on the windowsill. And this cat could stare out the damn window for 13 hours straight if I leave the window open. So that would be his sort of plant. So he was comfortable with me being around at that point. And this was probably around the end of month two into month three. And then he would, like, walk towards the bed because the bed is at one end of the windowsill. But there was, like, almost like an invisible barrier that he would not cross. He would not come onto the bed with me.
No matter what you did.
He would get curious. He'd stick his little paw out.
Yeah.
He'd sniff around. But he would not come on the bed. But on Easter morning, like a miracle from the man upstairs.
I was going to say.
He decided at about 7 o'clock in the morning, he was comfortable enough. He jumped on the bed.
Mm.
He let me pet him. And we've been best buds ever since.
It's crazy.
But it took 3.5 months.
Yeah, and we said I mentioned to you it's going to get better. Now every pet is different. I didn't know how long it would take, but certainly it did. So now the routine is what at night so he's on when you.
So I one of these days I'll take a video of it. I keep wanting to do it and keep forgetting. We have our little routine when I get home now. When I get home, he's either chilling on my bed or he's chilling in his little bed off to the side, and he comes up to me and we talk literally. He'll start meowing at me for like 15, 30 seconds
straight. And you're meowing back.
And I'm just like, hey, Ralph, how's your day, bud?
Oh,
how's it going?
Meow.
No. Oh, and then he'll meow back at me. We're literally like having like a little catch up from how the day was.
Okay.
I feed him. I give him a treat.
Yeah.
And then while I'm eating my dinner, he's doing all that. And then
After dinner, isn't that a little bit excessive?
Listen, it took 3.5 damn months, Carl. I'm gonna let the cat have a treat.
All right, Carl. I'm just saying. I mean, you want to watch his weight? No, I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? His breed is prone to being overweight. I gotta watch, and he's a big guy to start with, so I do have to be careful of that. But we'll worry about that.
Okay.
Then he jumps when I'm ready to go on my bed for the night. He jumps on the bed with me. He crawls up my arm, plops down sort of in between where like the armpit area is on my side, puts his head on my chest, and does the little
the
little kneading bread thing, and that's where he will remain until I'm ready to go to sleep.
Wow.
So he's awesome.
What a difference.
I know.
What a difference.
But I earned that sucker. Every day I would go, I took videos of this and I posted it online. I would come home from work. I'd have to lift up the bed skirt. He'd be all the way pushed back up against the wall sitting there. And the second I even with a treat or with a toy tried to advance towards him, he'd back up with his little paws and he'd go further and further towards the wall. And I did that every day for 3.5 months.
Well, you know what? You put the work in. You kept chopping wood, Kirby.
I did.
You kept chopping wood and it paid off.
Iron sharpened iron. Now, Carl, from what I understand, we may have a superstar on our hands with your situation.
Well, all of a sudden now, and Frankie is the newest member of the family. You guys know we lost Mikey, and we made the decision to dive back in. He's a Boston Terrier. He's great, right? And if you want to see what is going on with him, I'd be Frankie. And I just told Turtle, I was like, dude, I got these companies hit me up. And they're like, hi, we think you're cute. We want you to do some stuff for us. So I'm like, do you know any of these companies? I have no idea who they are, but I guess they want to send Frankie stuff to put on and wear. Either way.
He's, to model.
To model, yes. And I'm like, well, tell me more. But we're so happy. He's a great, fun dog, man. And you see some of this stuff in the post. But I'll say this. I'm glad we did it, Turtle. And, you know, sometimes you have these – you go back and forth, right, and it's like, should we do it? The only thing I will tell you is, and it's punching us in the face right now, is it had been so long since we had had a puppy.
Right.
It's a different world, right? Puppies are a different world. And we, you know, Mikey was a rescue. Max, we got him years ago when Trin was young. So it's been many years. And so with that said, that part of it has been fun but challenging. But he's so smart, man. He's picking stuff up. So he's doing great. But Frankie's chilling, man. If you want to check him out, again, I be Frankie. Right now, the debate going on between myself and my wife about Frankie is simply about, you know, training. We've got a couple of things that we've got to move Trent back in to school, and we've got to go some places. And we're like, okay, what are we doing? Is he going with us? Because I want to be able to take him with us places, but he's still so young. So we got to wait a little bit.
Do you guys have the potty and the feeding schedule down?
Done. Dude, we don't clown around. Like, Michelle's a schedule person. I will say this. All of the stuff that I was concerned about, dude, he's going to the back door, ringing the bell. I'm going out. Last night, we're sitting there watching TV. He's like, I'll be back. Goes outside, handles his business, comes back up.
Wow.
10 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe all of this stuff is paying off.
Well,
so
what more do you need? You need him to bring you a beer at night? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, there are expectations in this house. There are expectations.
Need him to drop a little seasoning on your steak? What are we doing?
Well, you know, I mean, and listen, I've said this. He's fun, though, man. He's a great, fun addition to the family. So with all of that said, I hope, you know, you guys who have pets, and again, we don't talk a lot about necessarily. We've talked about it when you got Rafa. I mentioned this about Frankie when we got him. But go check out the pictures. Go see what's going on. And we hope that all your pets are doing well as well. All right, Stukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're down here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're coming back. We got to talk about what's going on with the Falcons because we are literally a week away from the start of training camp. Next Wednesday, guys, this time, we'll be putting our brews in the air and saying, hey, man, because we'll be out there at Hooters in Buford Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we expect to see you guys out there. If you can't make it out one day, hey, there are plenty of days for you to come check us out and certainly hang out with us, so we're looking forward to it. But when we come back, we got to talk about your confidence level in the Falcons as we're a week away from the start of training camp next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Up a little bit later on, pregame tonight at 6:30. Abe and Garrett tonight.
They'll be in the building.
They will have the pregame for Atlanta United taking on NYCFC. By the way, do we snap out of this thing tonight?
Ooh, I want to spread some cheer and joy, Carl, but this is going to be a tough one. NYCFC is fifth in the table. Atlanta United, I believe, is 11th. Right. And I believe Atlanta United is down upwards of 5 starting players.
Yeah. Well, they're in the process of trying to replace some of the guys, right? And it's just this is a tough spot, as we like to say in sports. This is one of those scheduling things and where your team currently is, and it puts you in a tough, precarious situation.
I think they have a 4-match losing streak right now.
Yeah.
Going back, including their loss in the national tournament.
All right, I got to say this real quick before we get to some guy talk. Coming up, Falcon Report is on the way. Also, we'll talk to Jason Longshore. He will join us
in an hour.
Yeah, about what, 5:40. So he will be here, and we'll get his thoughts on all the stuff that is going on here with Atlanta United as of late. Guy, hit me up on social media. By the way, Chris, give him your social handle.
C. Thomas Radio.
All right, I'm at put 'em up. See Dukes. The show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. Mo Cheese, obviously he enjoyed
Mo Cheese.
Yeah, he enjoyed our conversation yesterday. Hits me up and he says, Dukes, this is Georgia, man. He's like, why are we talking about Alabama? Because you care. And I want to be clear about this. If you're not scoreboard watching during the season, if you're not keeping up with what's going on and whether they're losing games or winning certain games that they should be, you're fooling yourself. We all do it. And for dog fans, let's be honest. I said this yesterday. Kirby was 1-5 against Nick Saban.
There should be a little chip on the shoulder.
Absolutely.
Now. Come on now.
Absolutely. So Going to Tuscaloosa in week four is a big deal, and we're going to get a chance to see what this is all about for Dog fans. But let's not fool ourselves like, oh, I don't care what Kalen DeBoer says or what Jalen Milroe said. Hell, Jalen Milroe said you guys were scared last year. We forget about that?
And let's be honest, Carl. Every Saturday at about 4:30, when the Georgia game is over, if they're not the SEC game of the week, and you check all the box scores, you see what everybody did.
Yeah.
Who's the next team you're looking up?
Alabama.
Come on.
Alabama.
Come on.
It's the next team. All right. With that said, let's get to some guy talk, man. And first and foremost, what's the name of your cat, and how is your cat? Because a guy, and I want to give him some love here, but I think it was –
his name is Chris.
Yes, Chris, one of our loyal listeners, said, fellas, what's up with the pets? And so I know that you just showed me a picture, but the name and then where are you at? Because the last time I think we really spoke about your cat was this bonding situation that you had going on where – he was coming around, but he wasn't coming around, and now that's changed, right?
Yeah, so Rafa the cat is he's now my best bud, Carl. We have had an absolute breakthrough turnaround over the last couple of months. He has gone from being a cat that literally lived underneath my bed for 3.5 months. I got him in December, and it was Easter morning that he decided to come around. And there were stages, right? So at first, he wouldn't come out from under the bed when I was home. Then he would come out from underneath the bed only to eat while I was on my bed.
Okay.
If I moved off my bed onto the floor in the apartment, he would get scared and run back underneath the bed. So he would come out, but I had to be on the bed. Then he would come out and play around in the apartment with some toys that I got him in a bed, only if I was on the bed.
Gotcha.
Then he perched himself on the windowsill. And this cat could stare out the damn window for 13 hours straight if I leave the window open. So that would be his sort of plant. So he was comfortable with me being around at that point. And this was probably around the end of month two into month three. And then he would, like, walk towards the bed because the bed is at one end of the windowsill. But there was, like, almost like an invisible barrier that he would not cross. He would not come onto the bed with me.
No matter what you did.
He would get curious. He'd stick his little paw out.
Yeah.
He'd sniff around. But he would not come on the bed. But on Easter morning, like a miracle from the man upstairs.
I was going to say.
He decided at about 7 o'clock in the morning, he was comfortable enough. He jumped on the bed.
Mm.
He let me pet him. And we've been best buds ever since.
It's crazy.
But it took 3.5 months. Months.
Yeah. And we said, I mentioned to you, it's going to get better. Now, every pet is different. I didn't know how long it would take, but certainly it did. So now the routine is what? At night, he's on you?
One of these days I'll take a video of it. I keep wanting to do it and keep forgetting. We have our little routine when I get home now. When I get home, he's either chilling on my bed or he's chilling in his little bed off to the side. And he comes up to me and we talk, literally. He'll start meowing at me for like 15, 30 seconds straight.
And you're meowing
back. And I'm just like, hey, Roth, how's your day, bud?
Oh, How's it going? Meow.
No. Oh, and then he'll meow back at me. We're literally like having like a little catch up from how the day was.
Okay.
I feed him. I give him a treat.
Yeah.
And then while I'm eating my dinner, he's doing all that. And then
After dinner, isn't that a little bit excessive?
Listen, it took 3.5 damn months, Carl. I'm gonna let the cat have a treat.
All right, Carl. I'm just saying. I mean, you want to watch his weight, though. I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? His breed is prone to being overweight. I gotta watch, and he's a big guy to start with, so I do have to be careful of that. But we'll worry about that.
Okay.
Then he jumps when I'm ready to go on my bed for the night. He jumps on the bed with me. He crawls up my arm, plops down sort of in between where like the armpit area is on my side, puts his head on my chest, and does the little
kneading
kneading bread thing, and that's where he will remain until I'm ready to go to sleep.
Wow.
So he's awesome.
What a difference.
I know.
What a difference.
But I earned that, sucker. Every day I would go, I took videos of this and I posted it online. I would come home from work. I'd have to lift up the bed skirt. He'd be all the way pushed back up against the wall sitting there. And the second I even with a treat or with a toy tried to advance towards him, he'd back up with his little paws and he'd go further and further towards the wall. And I did that every day for 3.5 months.
Well, you know what? You put the work in. You kept chopping wood, Kirby.
I did.
You kept chopping wood and it paid off.
Iron sharpened iron. Now, yeah. Carl, from what I understand, we may have a superstar on our hands with your situation.
Well, all of a sudden now, and Frankie is the newest member of the family. You guys know we lost Mikey, and we made the decision to dive back in. He's a Boston Terrier. He's great, right? And if you want to see what is going on with him, I'd be Frankie. And I just told Turtle, I was like, dude, I got these companies hit me up. And they're like, hi, we think you're cute. We want you to do some stuff for us. So I'm like, do you know any of these companies? I have no idea who they are, but I guess they want to send Frankie stuff to put on and wear. Either way.
He's, to model,
yes. And I'm like, well, tell me more. But we're so happy. He's a great, fun dog, man. And you see some of this stuff in the post. But I'll say this. I'm glad we did it, Turtle. And, you know, sometimes you have these – you go back and forth, right, and it's like, should we do it? The only thing I will tell you is, and it's punching us in the face right now, is it had been so long since we had had a puppy.
Right.
It's a different world, right? Puppies are a different world. And we, you know, Mikey was a rescue. Max, we got him years ago when Trin was young. So it's been many years. And so with that said, that part of it has been fun but challenging. But he's so smart, man. He's picking stuff up. So he's doing great. But Frankie's chilling, man. If you want to check him out, again, I be Frankie. Right now, the debate going on between myself and my wife about Frankie is simply about, you know, training. We've got a couple of things that we've got to move Trent back into school, and we've got to go some places. And we're like, okay, what are we doing? Is he going with us? Because I want to be able to take him with us places, but he's still so young. So we got to wait a little bit.
Do you guys have the potty and the feeding schedule down?
Done.
Good.
Dude, we don't clown around. Like, Michelle's a schedule person. I will say this. All of the stuff that I was concerned about, dude, he's going to the back door, ringing the bell. I'm going out. Last night, we're sitting there watching TV. He's like, I'll be back. Pfft, goes outside, handles his business, comes back up.
Wow.
10 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe all of this stuff is paying off.
Well,
so,
what more do you need? You need him to bring you a beer at night? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, there are expectations in this house. There are expectations.
Need him to drop a little seasoning on your steak? What are we doing?
Well, you know, I mean, I've said this. He's fun, though, man. He's a great, fun addition to the family. So with all of that said, I hope, you know, you guys who have pets, and again, we don't talk a lot about necessarily, we've talked about it when you got Rafa. I mentioned this about Frankie when we got him. But go check out the pictures. Go see what's going on. And we hope that all your pets are doing well as well. All right, Stukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're down here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're coming back. We got to talk about what's going on with the Falcons because we are literally a week away from the start of training camp. Next Wednesday, guys, this time, we'll be putting our brews in the air and saying, hey, man, because we'll be out there at Hooters in Buford Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we expect to see you guys out there. If you can't make it out one day, hey, there are plenty of days for you to come check us out and certainly hang out with us, so we're looking forward to it. But when we come back, we got to talk about your confidence level in the Falcons as we're a week away from the start of training camp next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.